Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, family. This is Tim the Overseer. Welcome to Reign in Love Ministries. Welcome back. And I want to thank everyone for listening and thank you for your time and taking time on your busy, blessed schedule. We're back for another day, Daily Bread End Time Doctrine message, and which we're going to be talking about Revelation, the 9th chapter today. We should be able to cover the entire 9th chapter. It's quite a bit, but not as what I consider as much information as some of the other previous chapters. We may go the full hour and a half today. We may not. I don't believe that we will, even though there is quite a bit of information. But I think that we'll be able to get it in and get out of your way tonight. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get ready to get into the scriptures. And so I'll officially get started in just one moment. And then, of course, we're going to read the scriptures of love by Paul. And so, therefore, we go ahead and jump right on into it. I don't know why. It seems like I missed last week for some reason. I don't know why, but it seems like I've just been missing you guys and for some reason, but maybe it's a spiritual thing. We thank the Most High for his blessings, and I thank him for another blessed day. So I want to take this moment just to express gratitude and thank the Most High for our life, our soul, our health, our strength, the many blessings that he has bestowed upon us. I thank him for a roof over my head, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, and food on my table. I thank him for my family, my wife, children, family, friends, and loved ones. I thank him for his hand of protection through the Holy Spirit, and I thank him for protecting each and every one of us. I'm praying blessings for you and your family and your loved ones. And make sure that we are praying for everyone in the world that's been affected by the pandemic in some way or another. Family, I'm praying for you all, and make sure that you're doing the same for me and my loved ones, and also for everyone that's in the world. So with that being said, I just want to say, if no one has told you today that they love you, let me be the first one to announce to you that I love you with spiritual love, which comes from my Heavenly Father from above, which is true. Amen. Not some of this fake and phony stuff that we've experienced through the years where people love you based off of what you can do for them and conditions. That's not the type of love I'm talking about. I love you anyway. I love you. If I see you, I can hug you, I can shake your hand and tell you that I love you. Amen. And really mean it. Amen. That's the type of love that we have as true believers in the Most High. Amen. So in studying the book of Revelation, hopefully you've learned a lot. I know that I've learned a lot because it pushes me to study more and to learn more about the book and what it says about me as an individual, and also what it says about the church. And I tell people the promises for you, man. So I'm praying for the saints that we get busy out here because the enemy is really, really busy. So make sure that we are staying busy as well ourselves as the saints. Make sure we keep ourselves covered out here by the blood of Christ and also by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that with that being said, let's go ahead and read the context of love by Paul, which is coming from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, and 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. We're going to go ahead and read that. Amen. It says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity ended not. Charity vaunted not itself. Is not puffed up, do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abide in faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Thank you, most gracious Heavenly Father, for another blessed day. We thank you for life and life more abundantly, Heavenly Father. We thank you for salvation. Amen. We thank you for eternal salvation and deliverance from eternal damnation, Heavenly Father. We thank you for deliverance from our former life and our past sins, Heavenly Father, that you continue to give us the strength to be strong, Heavenly Father, as we walk in the Spirit for you, Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore, Heavenly Father, for there is none like you in all existence. We thank you for your Son Christ and his ultimate sacrifice, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the Lamb's obedience, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for restoring us back to you, Heavenly Father, and for blessing us with the greatest gift to mankind, which is eternal life, and to live before your face, Heavenly Father, for all eternity. Heavenly Father, we thank you for love and kindness, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Heavenly Father. We thank you for restoring us, Heavenly Father. Again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore, Heavenly Father. This hour, we come praying, Heavenly Father, that the Spirit comes in and lead and guides and teaches, Heavenly Father, and that all flesh and all mental flesh mindset be removed, Heavenly Father. Again, we bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. All right, so let's go ahead and jump right on into the scriptures. I won't be before you long tonight. We're going to get into Revelation, the ninth chapter. We're moving along pretty good, amen. With these scriptures. We may be done as early as early next year with Revelation. Again, I'm just going to going through Revelation, giving you some thoughts and some mindsets for the book of Revelation. My prayer is that you begin to receive the knowledge and that you grow spiritually. As I've told you before, the book of Revelation is not to scare the saints. There's no reason for the saints to be afraid of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is for you. It blesses you, those of you that are currently part of the church right now, because when Christ returns, we know that he's going to extract the church. He's going to gather up the saints or rapture up the saints to heaven. And so we are the saints preceding the tribulation days in the great tribulation. We won't be here to partake in that, amen, because we are not appointed to his wrath, amen. And we thank him for his grace and his mercy. We pray that those of you that are listening, that you do receive salvation. If you have not received salvation, we are praying that you receive salvation, so therefore you will not partake in the wrath to come, amen, the great tribulation that's going to come upon the earth. And so we're going to get into Revelation, the ninth chapter. Very interesting. I've been learning a lot studying Revelation and bringing you this information. So without further ado, there's quite a bit of information I want to share with you. So let's just go and get into the scripture so I can begin to talk about it. Amen. So Revelation, the ninth chapter, let's look at verse 1, okay? Now, we dealt with the seven trumpets. We're in the seven trumpets. Remember, we talked about Revelation, the eighth chapter last week, verse 1, how that first verse said the seventh seal was open, okay? We dealt with the seals. Now we're dealing with the trumpets and how the seventh seal was silenced in Revelation, the eighth chapter, silence in heaven. And then the seven trumpets begin. And we also dealt with the announcements of the three woes, woe, 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 which is Revelation, the eighth chapter, verse 13, okay? Now, when you see the word woe in the Bible, that word means, man, there's something really, really about to happen. It's a woe, woe unto you. In other words, man, something is really about to take place. And we, as we get into Revelation, the ninth chapter, we'll start into the first woe. You'll see if you've been following along in the book of Revelation since the fifth and sixth chapter, especially in Revelation, the sixth chapter, where Revelation 6 outlines the entire book of Revelation. And then as you begin to break down the preceding chapters after Revelation, the sixth chapter, it begins to go into more details, okay? Now, what we must understand is John only gave us so much information. So think of it, put yourself in the mindset if you was to get onto a plane and go to another foreign country and you had only a few days just to write about the entire country or what you could about the country, it's not going to be enough information. You couldn't write enough in 3 days or even in a week or even 3 months about the country to bring enough information back to us to make it more detailed, okay? There's just no way. John, in fact, you know, we know that the Heavenly Father told John, he said, seal it up, write no more. The same that he told Daniel, write no more, because there are some things that are going to happen in the end days in that seven-year period that's not even announced in the book of Revelation. So there are things that's going to happen that we're not, that we have no idea that's going to happen. And we can only speculate or imagine what those things could possibly be. The book of Revelation is a, we know it's a symbolic book. It's a very, it's a book that makes you wonder a lot. I know it makes me wonder a lot as I read it. You have to be careful to not get into too much speculation, especially as you study and read, because when you begin to read and study, you'll see that when you read different books on Revelation, that several writers and authors have their different opinions about different verses and different events in Revelation. So as I told you before, we do what? The best that we can as ministers of the gospel and teachers of the word to interpret and give you the book of Revelation to the best of our knowledge, okay? So Revelation 9:1 says, and the fifth angel sounded, amen. This is the fifth angel sounding what? He's sounding the trumpet, right? There are seven trumpets. He's sounding the fifth trumpet. And watch what he says. He said, and I saw a star. John said, I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Amen. So Revelation 9:1, you say, well, what is the star? We talked about the stars before. We talked about the stars representing what? Angels. We talked about that in the beginning. But this particular star, as most believe, is an angel that falls from heaven. Now, we know that the Bible talks about principalities, wicked in high places, okay? Some speculate based off of Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 18. I'm going to go there real quick and read it. Some believe that this is Lucifer falling from heaven. We're going to find out as we go through the verses if it's Lucifer. Some believe that. I'll give you my opinion here in a minute. So Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 18 said, and he said unto them, this is Christ talking, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So what this scripture means in similarity to Revelation 9:1 is that it may just be a reference, in other words, synonymous as to the way that Lucifer fell. Now, some scholars believe that Lucifer fell at the beginning of time, okay? And some believe that he has not yet fallen from heaven. So that's a very, that makes you wonder and think. When we get to Revelation 12, we'll more likely have the answer to that question. Okay, I'm going to leave you to wonder, do your study, own study and research. But Revelation 12 talks about the fall of Satan. Again, some believe that it was actually from the beginning, because over in Genesis, let me share something with you. 20 years ago, when I was studying and reading the Bible, I thought this was amazing when I read it over in Genesis 1, Genesis, the first chapter, verse 2. Let me read verse 1 to make it make more sense. It says, in the beginning, which is the beginning from the eternities, not the beginning of time, but somewhere in the eternities, Yahweh created the heaven and the earth. Now, he created the heaven and the earth. Now, watch what verse 2 says. And it says, verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Now, why would the earth be without form and without void? Why would that happen? Because we always thought when he created the earth that it didn't have a form and it wasn't void. Well, that's because in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 2, that word was in the Greek, I mean, not the Greek, the Hebrew, amen. I want to say, if I can remember, this has been 20 years ago, y'all, since I've studied, almost 20 years ago, so I studied this. But I want to say that word is bereshit in the Hebrew, if I remember it right. It says, and the earth was, that word was actually translated to mean in the Hebrew, became. And when I saw that, that just blew my mind. I said, wait a minute. So to correctly read that scripture in this context, it reads, and the earth became without form. Well, how did the earth become without form? So remember, he created it, right? Because when he creates something, he don't create any junk. He creates it to be perfect. Excuse me. So I'm going to say this real quick, and not to get so far off from our study in Revelation 9, but I have to say this because it kind of, just to make you think. So when he created the earth, he created it perfect. He created it round. right? But it said the earth became without form and void. So something cataclysmic had to happen to the earth to make it to become what? Without form and void, meaning that he had to recreate the earth. This is where scholars and theologians believe that Lucifer actually was thrown out of heaven to earth. And when he hit the earth, I know we've seen these movies that they talk about meteorites hitting the earth, that it would destroy the earth. When he hit the earth, he hit it so hard that he basically destroyed the planet to an extent. And the Most High had to recreate it. That's a thought. Okay, I'm not saying that's actual facts. You do your own study and research. I've actually kind of come to that conclusion too. But further study and research says that actually Lucifer hadn't fallen from heaven yet. There are some that say he is yet to fall in our time, that he may have fallen somewhere in this time frame before Christ come back, that the Most High kicked him out of heaven before he was preparing Christ to come back to get the church. That's another school of thought. Again, I'll let you do your study and your research to come to your own conclusion. Because the reason that I say that, because in conclusion to this Luke 10th chapter verse 18, says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Well, if John didn't see him, but Christ saw him, and Christ said this to his disciples, to me it wouldn't make sense that Lucifer would have fallen after the beginning of the church age, that he was actually had fallen before the church age. Now, that's my school of thought, because Christ announces it here in Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 18. But again, we'll find out. We'll come to a conclusion on that over in Revelation, the 12th chapter, when we get there. Okay, so we'll find out. Okay, but right now, I just want to acknowledge that. And so the reason why I say it, because in Revelation 9 and 1, some people believe that this star, which is an angel, and you'll see over as we read down through the scripture that it is an angel. That's how we know that this star is symbolic of an angel falling where? From heaven to earth. Now, the reason I reference that, because we know that his fall was quick. It was like lightning. He fell to the earth, right? And we know that this for a star, which is an angel, to fall from heaven, he has to be what? A falling angel. That's why they're called falling angels. So we know this is not a righteous angel. I want to make that clarification. I have to show these other verses to you so that you can have to draw a picture and a mindset of, oh, okay, Lucifer fell from heaven. So this particular angel fell from heaven as well. So therefore, you can have put in your mind that this is not an angel that's a righteous angel of the Most High, but a fallen angel that serves who? Lucifer, an evil angel, if you will, okay? Verse 9 says, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. This angel was given a key to unlock the bottomless pit. Now, let me read to you Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 31. I'm going to read some more scriptures because I want to discuss this bottomless pit because, again, you have to be careful with Revelation because Revelation is a very symbolic book and an interpretation. And so Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 31 says, this is what it reads. It says, who appeared in glory? Amen. Hold on one moment. Amen. I'm in the wrong chapter. Make sure it didn't look right. Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 31. There we go. It says, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Now, this is Christ when he saw the men in the graveyard. And they was cutting up. They was possessed with demons. And let me tell you guys something, man. People take for light how powerful Christ is. And this is why I say, once saved, always saved. Christ is so, so powerful. It mystifies me that people would want to serve Satan. Christ is so powerful that the demons that possess these men recognize Christ. And I tell people, exorcism and calling out demons is nothing to play with. That's why when people in church talk about they shouting and playing and speaking in tongues, man, that stuff is nothing to play with. But yet you see people playing in church. This is nothing to play with. Man, when them demons saw Christ in that body, oh, they ran over to him. Oh, they knew who he was. But it's funny that the people crucified him didn't even know who he was. But yet it should have been evidence through his ministry and through the miracles that Christ did, how powerful Christ was. But people take him so lightly. Man, Christ is so powerful that the demons tremble. Oh, man, you better hear what I'm saying. They tremble. And I wish I could get a little bit more into the scripture, but I want to know that this is not about this, about the demons that was in the garden, that was in the tombs of the Gadarenes. And so when they saw him, they ran, and they were so afraid of Christ that he said, "Don't cast us into the deep." Well, the word "deep" is interpreted several different ways, and it makes you wonder. Was the deep, is it talking about hell? Because it doesn't say hell. It says the bottomless pit, and we see over here in Luke 8 and 31, it says into the deep. I believe that the realm of hell is a place that we know that that's where the unbelieving dead goes. The unbelieving dead goes. Now, in the Old Testament, before Christ was raised from the dead, we also knew it was a place that the righteous, the believing saints also went. But they were separated, and it was believed that they was in the Garden of Paradise. It was believed that that's where they went, to paradise, which we believe that maybe that was the Garden of Eden. It said paradise, okay, or at least a paradise place, maybe similar to the Garden of Eden. And there was a gulf to where the righteous and the righteous and the unrighteous could not cross over to one another, okay? So you say, well, why am I talking about this? Again, we're talking about the bottomless pit. In verse 1 of Revelation, the 9th chapter, okay? And a key was given to him. Now, the realm of hell, we have, the Bible does not go into thorough descriptions of hell, okay? I happen to believe that this bottomless pit could be a realm of hell. Of what sort, we don't know, okay? But the reason I say that, because this further study and research shows that in the Old Testament, and I don't want to give too much, these similar references points back to what we call the deep or the bottomless pit, okay? Revelation 17 and 8, let's go there real quick and read it. What it says, Revelation, the 17th chapter, verse 8. This is what it says. It says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life." Amen. It's probably too late by then. "From the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." Amen. So, again, I don't want to spoil it, but we'll interpret who that beast is over in Revelation 17th chapter later on, some time to come. We'll get into who that is, okay? But I want to point that out, that he's going to come out of the deep. Now, the Bible only gives three references to different places or realms that we know it that exist. You have to be careful, because so many people on social media, on these documentaries, are talking about different dimensions and realms. Don't let them confuse you, because the Bible keeps it simple. Though there may be different dimensions and realms, but the Bible only talks about heaven and earth in the beginning. And only after the fall of man and after what Satan, Lucifer did, the Bible then begins to talk about what? A place called hell. So we only know that there's three realms in existence. We know that there's the first, there's heaven, which there's three levels of heaven. You have the sky, which we live, which we can see the blue sky. Then at night, when it turns dark, when the sun goes down, we see the heavens, which is the star, the body of stars live. We know that there are stars. We know that that exists. Okay, we know that there's the earth because we live here. And we know that there's the heaven. And then there's the third heaven, which Paul talks about, which no man has been to. Even Christ said no man has seen Yahweh at any time in the flesh. Or we have to be in a spiritual form, okay? So flesh has not been to heaven, okay, according to the scriptures and what we believe. Now, there's three levels of heaven. Okay, I used to know the names of them, so I'm not going to tell. I know one of them is called Shemayim. I used to know all three names, but there's the sky, which is the earth sky, which we can see, the blue sky, the heavens, where the stars live, which we can see the body of stars, where the moon and everything, we can see that at night, and then the third heaven, which we cannot visibly see. It's too far for us to see. It's a realm that we cannot see where he is. Nothing but light, pure righteousness, pure holiness, the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son lives there. Amen. All the angels, the righteous angels, live in heaven. That's the realm that it talks about. So now we also have hell because of what Lucifer and the fallen angels have done. Hell has now come into existence. And so when we talk about this bottomless pit, I'm going to say there's probably a rim, a part of what? Possibly hell, okay? At one point, I kind of didn't believe that it was hell based on the language. And the reason why I say it, because the word hell is not used. It says the bottomless pit. And then the description is not similar to hell, and where we talk about hell, a place of torment. But as further research shows, that this bottomless pit is also in reference to verse 11 of Revelation 9 and 11. Again, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'll kind of break down that interpretation when I get there. So it's a possibility that this is probably a rim within hell. It's a possibility, hell itself. Okay. Now, I want to make sure I kind of brought that to your attention. Again, Revelation 20, chapter verse 1, looking at Lucifer. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, that's a different angel, okay? It says an angel, okay? It doesn't say a star, because we know that the Bible referenced stars as what? Angels at some point, okay? But in Revelation 21, it didn't say a star. It said an actual angel. So this is what we believe to be a righteous angel. Okay, not a fallen angel, but a righteous angel. Because why? He said he came down from heaven. He didn't fall. Was what? See, y'all see, we use language in the Bible to interpret the Bible. Okay, it said that the star didn't fall from heaven. So this other star in Revelation 9 and 1 fell from heaven. That is a falling angel. The Revelation 21 says that he came down from heaven. So if he came down, there was a choice. So if you fall. See, when you fall in, George, you can't help you. You didn't fail. So you have no control over what? You falling, okay? So the angel didn't have no, but when you come down, okay, so if you fall down the stairs, you have lost control. That's not by your own doing. Maybe it is, but if you fall, you know, that's different. If you come down the stairs by your choice. So this is a righteous angel. He came down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now watch this. And he laid hold on the dragon, which we know that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, bound him 1,000 years. So we know that this is a righteous angel, because we know that an unrighteous fallen angel is not going to go down bound who he serves. Lucifer, that wouldn't make any sense, right? Now, back to scripture interpretation. Again, we use what? Scripture to interpret scripture, okay? Now, looking at Revelation 9 and 2, let's see what Revelation 9 and 2 says, okay? Remember, keeping the mindset, the bottomless pit is probably the world of the dead, okay? We talked about that, okay? Revelation 9 and 2 says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Amen. Now, by now, if you've been following this study of Revelation, man, you can see that, you know, as a normal, sensible human being, you shouldn't want to be on the earth during this time. You should not want to take part in this, unless you just steep deep in Luciferian and satanic cultism. Maybe I can see, you know, I guess you would want to be here. There's no way in the world I want to be. Now, if you remember in Revelation 8 chapter last week, we talked about how the sun is going to be darkened. Remember in Revelation 12, in the fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. And so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. There's not going to hardly be any light. So now you're going to have where talked about this last week, where the sun may only shine 8 hours of the day or 10 hours of the day. That is amazing. And it's going to be dark. Even if it's going to be like an eclipse, sun and moon, and barely, it's still going to be dark. And now you have this bottomless pit open in Revelation 9 and 2 after the angel has sounded the what? The fifth trumpet. What do we see? And there arose smoke out of the pit. Remember, the Bible talks about what Christ said, in the gates of hell shall what? Not prevail. Man, I'm telling you something. There's going to be some things. The Bible describes what's going to come out of the pit. You don't want nothing to do with this. Okay? The Bible describes what's coming out of this pit. Okay? Remember, the gates of hell should not prevail because the Son of God, Christ, has all power in his hands. He's gonna conquer, okay? But all glory be to the Most High that we won't have to take part in any of this. Amen. I am so grateful for his grace and his mercy. The church will not have to deal with this thing because I couldn't, I me just thinking instead of reading the Bible, I wouldn't want no part of this, okay? So the fifth trumpet talks about what? The demonized locusts torture men. We're going to say how long it's going to torture the men here according to the scriptures, okay? Now, do I have any scriptures on this right here, 9 and 2? Yeah, I do. Let's go over to Joel, the second chapter, verse 2. I love the book of Joel. If you haven't read the book of Joel, you should. If you hadn't read the latter parts of Daniel, you should because they coincide with Revelation. Both the book of Joel and Daniel are very, they're not too far away from each other. So now let's take a look at Joel. I have the second chapter. I have some more verses. The second chapter, verse 2 of Joel says, and it says, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. So remember, there's still going to be 1,000 years of reign. That's why I said even after this year's many generations, there's going to be 1,000 years of reign after Christ leaves. You think about this. This is the same prophecy that Daniel prophesied and that Christ said, there should be no time like it on earth. And I know that sounds light to say that. Oh, there'll be no time like it on earth. Well, what time is it going to be like? Because, you know, you got people that want to speculate and be smart. Man, we can't fathom. You can't prepare for what's coming in these days. You can't prepare. You won't have enough money. You won't have enough prestige, education, friendship, relationship with certain organizations. What's going to happen on the earth is going to be nothing. Like I say, the prophets and John the apostle, they gave us what they could. According, because you can only imagine if they were 1,000 years and this thing was revealed to them by the Spirit and was revealed to John when he went into heaven. They are doing the best that they can to tell us the future. Like, we can imagine 2 to 3,000 years from now. We look at the technology we have now on this earth. If the earth was going for another 2 to 3,000 years, we couldn't, if we were someone was to send us into the future and try to explain, according to what we see now, to what's going to be then, we do the best that we can with what we have now. Say, well, this was like this. Hey, man, I ain't be driving cars 1,000 years from now. Like, what's a car? If the earth was to be 1,000 years from now. And so reading these scriptures, let me also read Joel, the second chapter, verse 10. It's amazing to me. It says, watch this, and the earth shall quake before them. And we talked about this great earthquake. There it is again. And it says, the heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. I tell you what's amazing. I'm just going to jump ahead a little bit to like the end of Revelation 9 and 11. I mean, the latter verses in this chapter is how pompous and arrogant men will be. You people are arrogant now. I told you I worked for a bank, a financial institution, and people with money, people are arrogant now. People are so, since this pandemic has happened, I'm not going to say that I'm glad that it happened. But I will say I can see why it happened. People are now more humble now. People don't, you know, they're not as rude. They're not as, and people get even more humble. I'm just like, wow, people, everyone's trying to be nicey now. Everyone's trying to talk on a spiritual level now. And I'm hoping that this thing is waking people up seriously because, you know, it seems like when things are fine and going well, people will become so arrogant and so rude, so the love of man just waxed cold. And I can see the world possibly, if if the Messiah doesn't come back soon, like soon, you know, things go back to going back to what we call, quote unquote, normal, I can see man going back to being arrogant. So let's get back to the scriptures. So I want to share that with you, 9 and 2, okay? And I want to read to you the book of Joel. Let me go ahead and read this. I guess I can come back to it. Yeah, I'm gonna come back to that. Let's go ahead and read it. Joel, the second chapter. Let's read verse 31. Because it's similar to what we just read. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Understand that, again, the events are not in any type of order. We don't know what events are going to come in what type of order. We know it's going to be over the extended period of time. So this darkness can go on for several months and go on for several years. Remember, it's going to be 3.5 years. The Great Tribulation is 3.5 years. I happen to call the latter part of the 7-year tribulation the Great Tribulation, because not only is the Antichrist and Lucifer and the beast going to rule evil on this planet for the 7 years, but that last half, that 3.5 years, man, the Lamb is going to pour out his punishment and judgments on the people and the unbelievers, because they're going to continue to be like Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh, when Moses went to him several times and said that the Most High said, let my people go? And he had the nerve to challenge Moses and say, who is this Most High that I should let his people go? Man, is this guy's nerve right? Well, people are going to be the same way in the end times, in these last days, during the 7-year period. They're going to be so arrogant. And this is what's going to be fun. This is how we know the church is going to be gone, because the Bible talks about how he's going to pour his wrath on all the earth and how he's going to try all the men. Revelation 3 and 10, he talks about that. And people are just going to be so arrogant. So you know that when the church is called home, no love will be in the world. We talk about the love of Christ and how we are loving. Ain't going to be no more peace. Men, nations should rise against nations. Neighbors should rise against neighbors. People are going to be so evil towards one another. You think people are cutting up now, as I was describing, you know, when I was working at the bank. People are going to be even worse. It's going to be, man, people are going to be so evil towards and nasty towards one another, lovers of themselves. They don't care for nobody but themselves. And, you know, I can see it plain as day coming to pass, okay? Revelation 9 and 3 says, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Okay, I want to call your attention to Exodus, the 10th chapter. I'm going to read verse 4, and I'm going to give you another verse. I may have some time, but I'm just going to read this verse, because I want you to understand that this is similar to what took place in Egypt. Exodus, the 10th chapter, verse 4. Okay. It says, else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will bring the locusts into thy coast. Okay? And so remember, again, him refusing to let the people go, just being arrogant, Pharaoh, he has all this power like people are today, the governments in the world today, people have power and prestige and part of brotherhoods and our secret cults and all this old crazy stuff they're doing, and they got all this money and wealth. They do what they want. Can't nobody tell them anything. They're going to be the same way. People are going to the 144,000 will be preaching to them. They're going to have seals, and they're going to be preaching to them. They don't want to hear it, right? Those who would turn to become believers and become saved will preach to them. They don't want to hear it, okay? And so these locusts are not the same locusts that were in. These locusts are going to be totally different locusts. The locusts that are in Exodus, the 10th chapter, are totally different, okay? And you'll read about that. If you read Exodus, the 10th chapter, verses 13 through, I believe it's 15, you'll see that these locusts are totally different. And also you will see the description of how it talks about and how the, you know, how it was dark because the locusts over the land. And so do you imagine these locusts that are coming out of the pit, the dark, bottomless pit in the earth, has going to be a pit that's going to be open. Man, we have the key to the bottomless pit. And these locusts are going to come out, this black smoke. You think about, I mean, it's got to be blacker than anything that you can imagine. Can you imagine that? Man, just all of a sudden you just see hundreds of miles with this black smoke just rising up, and it goes to the air and fills the air. It's going to be a, man, I'm telling you something. So we look at the power that was given to these locusts, and let me go over Revelation. Well, no, we're going to come to this. I'm going to read it. We're going to read it eventually anyway. So the power that was going to give, that's going to be given to them. Now, let me read 9 and 3. It says, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, I've been blessed and fortunate, and hopefully I'll stay blessed and fortunate to not ever be stung by a scorpion. I actually had to kill one in my bedroom one morning. I actually thought it was a piece of lint on my wall. I had my glasses. I'm like, what is that on my wall? I wasn't there last night when I went to bed. And, you know, I ignored it because I thought it was a piece of lint somehow I got on my wall while I was sleeping overnight. I just didn't remember it there the night before. And I kind of ignored it for a few seconds. And I said, wait a minute. Let me put my glasses on. Let's see what's this on my wall. I put my glasses on. It was a scorpion on my wall. And I had to kill it. I'm like, man, this thing could have stung me at night. Amen. There we go. Thank the Most High for the Holy Spirit. Thank Him for His grace and His mercy. So I tell you, He'll protect you, man. I tell you, He'll protect you right by the head of my bed. I completely understand. I'm like, what is this? How did he get in my room? And so I've had a family member say that they've been stung by a scorpion. And let me tell you, he said it was nothing pleasant. He said those things hurt. So I've heard that they hurt. So I can only imagine the power that they're going to be given. Okay, let me go ahead and read verses 4 and 5. Let me go ahead and read some verses so you can kind of get to the story. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of Yahweh in their foreheads. One thing I thought was amazing about verse 4, if you remember in Revelation, they did eat the green. You remember they destroyed the crops. And that's usually what locusts do. They destroy crops, green, right? Greenery, the trees, the crops, the tree, the grass. That's what they usually destroy. But in this, the book of Revelation said that they was given a different commandment, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, but the men, which have not what the seal of Yahweh. If you don't have whatever the seal is going to be, amen, this is just, let me announce it, spiritual speculation, because we know that the people who don't believe are going to have 666 in their forehead. So the people who do believe are going to have a special mark. Again, quote, unquote, spiritual speculation. Let's just say it's a 777. I'm just saying it's my spiritual speculation. We don't know what the mark is going to be, okay, but I'm just saying. We know that those who are sealed by the Most High, they're not going to be harmed by the wrath of the Lamb. They're not going to be touched. But the men who are, these are the believers who won't be touched by the wrath of the Lamb. But the unbelievers that have the mark of the devil, okay, because, you know, they got to have the 666, and they have to buy, sell, to even live and go to work, right? They're going to be tormented. Why? Because they choose to be constantly disobedient. All these people on this planet that want to be disobedient and talk smart and be evil and just do what they want to do and say there is no God and serve the devil and sell their souls, they're going to be tormented. Again, no amount of money or whoever you are, I don't care how deep you can build your place into the ground, I don't care where you go, you go into the sky. These locusts, they're going to torment, right? Verse 5 says, and to them it was given that they should not kill them. That is amazing. But that they should what? Be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh the man. Man, I can't imagine being hit by a scorpion. I can only imagine if they say, I've been stung by a bee in a wall. I hate it. Man, those things hurt. And so if being stung by a scorpion is something similar or even worse to being stung by a bee. Now, a bee hurts worse than a wasp. I'll tell you, I've been stung by a wasp several times, but to be stung by a bee hurts even. Maybe I was just younger. Maybe that's what it was. But the first thing I was stung by was a bee. And, man, let me tell you, that joker hurt. And so I can only imagine being stung multiple times. Let's say even if it's once or twice, three times in a day, that's a lot. We don't know how many times they're going to torment them, but the power was given to them to sting them, but to not what? Kill them, that they should be tormented 5 months. Can you imagine being tormented with stings constantly? And I'm quite sure it's going to be on a daily basis. So imagine you got to go to work or you got to go get groceries. You're going to be just stung. These people are going to be really cutting up. You think they don't like the Most High now, they probably going to be cussing to the high sky, right? But they're going to be tormented for 5 months. Now watch this. Verse 6. Watch what verse 6 says. And in those days, amen, shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die. The key word, desire to die, and death shall flee from them. This is so amazing to me, man. When I study, I like to dig deep to the scripture. This is so amazing to me because, for one, you think about this. It says in those days, which we know this is the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation, which I call the great tribulation. So the 7-year period of tribulation, the last 3.5 years I call it the great tribulation, and this is why. Because remember, Revelation 6, 7, 8, all those things that have happened on the earth, now Christ has taken his vengeance, his punishment, his judgment on the unrighteous. Now I'm going to punish you for not acknowledging, for cursing me, for doing anything evil against me and not serving me. I'm going to punish you for 5 months, and you're going to seek to die. You're going to want to die. I can't imagine. And so I can imagine that, you know, if I hurt from a bee sting or a wasp sting or a scorpion sting, if I'm constantly having this every day, oh, man, that would be, let me tell you something. The worst thing for me is I hate having a cold. Right now I'm dealing with the weather. Right now I'm dealing with illness. But I can't stand a sore throat or the flu, but mainly a sore throat and an earache, the two things that I hate the worst. It's like when it happens, when I feel it coming on, I run to the store and I stock up on orange juice, water, medicine. I'm taking everything to make it go away as soon as possible. I can't stand to be ill, and most people can't. I can't stand this. One thing I can't stand is to have a cold. And so I can't imagine every day, even once a day for 5 months, it's stung by, like, oh, you haven't had your daily sting? Let me sting you. So can you imagine being stung 5, 10, 15, 20? Oh, man, that would make you go nuts. You would go crazy getting constantly stung by these scorpions. And you're like, man, you're like, what in the world is going on? And so it says in those days that men shall seek death. Now, I'm not going to say that people are going to commit suicide or attempt to commit suicide, or that they're not going to commit suicide, try to attempt to commit suicide. I'm going to say that this would drive you to the point of where I can see where a person would want to probably take their life. I would definitely say that. And that I'm going to say to the extent that they probably would attempt it, because it says that they should what? Desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now, I don't know how that would look. Like I told you earlier before in my earlier studies of book of Revelation, I mentioned this. Living one of my freestyle Friday nights. We can't imagine this. I can't imagine someone jumping off a building and getting up living. We can't. But the Bible says that there's going to be some things going to happen that has not ever happened before on the earth. Can you imagine somebody jumping off a building trying to kill themselves because of this? They're so tired of being stung and just everyday living in pain and suffering. There's some people that would do that. I can see that happening. Because of the things that's happening, not just this one thing, but multiple things that happen in the world, is that people kill themselves for many different reasons. So I couldn't see how a person wouldn't come to that conclusion during these times and just saying, you know what, I'm just going to end it all. But then death is going to flee from them. Again, we don't know how that's going to look. We don't know if the gun's just not going to go off. They try to blow their brains out. We don't know if the gun's just not going to go off. You know, we don't know if it's going to happen. They're just not going to die. We don't know what that's going to look like. Again, this is going to be a time that has not ever happened before. Man, this is really something, okay? So let's go. I'm just going to give you the scripture. I'm going to go there. Job 3:21. Isaiah, the second chapter, verses 17 through 19. You'll see examples, especially Isaiah's second chapter, verses 17 through 19. I wish I could read that, but I'm going to let you put that in your notes and read it. Again, Job 3 and 21, Isaiah, the second chapter, verses 17 through 19. Look at those verses, and you see it coincide with what I just taught. Okay? We talked about the green grass and the trees not being to not hurt. It's amazing. Okay? So let's read 7 through 9. And it says, "And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses preparing to battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold. And their faces were as faces of men." Now that's going to, I'm telling you something. Can you imagine a scorpion with a face like a man? And they're going to be decked out with a crown. I'm telling you, this is going to be some stuff that's going to really, really freak people out. And that's why I can see why people will come to the conclusion. And it's funny, but not funny. Funny is that people just at that point wouldn't repent. That's what's strange and funny. It's like you wouldn't repent after seeing this stuff. I repent in a heartbeat. Lord, yes, I believe this is enough. Being stung and then these scorpions got faces like men. What is going on? We've never seen anything like this. Okay, and you know, most of the scholars and theologians come to the conclusion, even I've come to the conclusion, that this is literal. Some people believe that this is symbolic, say, no, this is not actual scorpions with crowns on their head. I have to believe that this is literal. This part of it is literal. I don't believe that this is symbolic. It's a possibility that it could be, but I believe that it's literal, that it doesn't really reference anything else that it could be, although it could possibly be. Okay, we're not going to rule out the possibility that it could be symbolically mean something else. But what else could sting man that are like scorpions? That's something that, and that's why it's hard for people, theologians, to come to the conclusion that this may be just symbolic. What else could hurt you that constantly could do something like that, especially coming out of a bottomless pit? And that's why most people believe that this is more literal than it is symbolic. Okay, so I'm leaning in that. I also agree and lean in that direction as well. Okay, so these locusts were prepared, right? They have. It says that these locusts. All the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Man, that's going to like really mess people up. It had crowns of gold, right? And their faces were like men. And their hair were like women, and their teeth as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, the breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Man, that's going to make people run like, I don't know. What, they're going to be getting stung. And I'm not laughing to be mean. I'm just laughing like, this is amazing to me, man, that this type of thing is going to happen on this earth. We talk about this pandemic. I tell you, this pandemic is nothing. And this is just what John gave us. There's no telling what else is going to happen. This is what John gave us. And so why wouldn't people want to repent is what mystifies me, as I said earlier. Why wouldn't you want to give your life to Christ after all this? Man, I tell you, I was just, you know, when something happened in my life, that was it. I knew I was raised better. I said, oh, that's it. You know, I know this is, he's given me too many signs, too many chances and opportunities. I know with this happening, I know this is time for me to give my life over to him. And so he heard my prayer. And so let's take a look at some more information that I have, some more notes that I have. So let's take a look at that. Let's see what I have here. So we talked about the 5 months and the commandment that the swarm was given over to torment me, and just some notes on how scorpion stings affect people. It says the symptoms is rapid breathing, muscle twitching, and overall weakness. So can you imagine dealing with that for 5 months and then just the pain of them stinging you? That's a misery, man, that, you know, will probably make people, like I say, and it's not probably. We know for a fact that since the scripture said, they're going to want to die. They're going to seek death. And That's a long time. 5 months is a long time to suffer any type of pain, suddenly, anything like that. So let me go ahead and get to verse 11. That's what I want to get to about this. The about let's read verses 10 and 11 of chapter 9. It says, and they had tails like scorpions, and they and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt me in 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue had his name Apollyon. Amen. So, you know, some people, there's a speculation as to who this is. In my study from research, some people, as in the earlier part, I talked about the star that fell in verse 9 and 1, they believe this is Satan himself, which is funny to me because people actually serve Satan. And it's funny that the unbelievers who are going to take the mark serve Satan, and Satan's going to torment them. Isn't that the most bizarre thing to you? You know, Christ would not ever torment his believers. He would not ever. So my thing is, why would you want to be part of a kingdom that hates you? And I've witnessed and told people that before. Why would you want to be part of that? Lucifer hates you. He doesn't love you at all. He is using you so that you can go and burn for all eternity and be with him in hell in the lake of fire for all eternity. Why would you want to be a part of that? Still today, you know, people can't answer that question. It just mystifies me. Because, oh, because I get to have what I want. Man, this is not guaranteed. You can die tomorrow. Don't you get to have what you want? It's temporarily. And again, the things that you're going to receive in this life is not going to be worthy of the punishment that you're going to receive for all eternity. God is more powerful in this situation, in all situations. He allows Satan to control, to be king over these, whether it's Satan or let's say it's Apollyon or Abaddon is a specific angel. Let's just say that, and he's ruling under Satan. He's kind of like Satan's right-hand man. Still, you know, Satan is going to allow his so-called people to be tormented, you know. And you know, it's funny because the Most High is what? Not going to allow them to die. You see that? He's not going to allow them to die. No, I want them to be, because a lot of times you want, you know, you think about when people do something bad to people. You know, you think about when people take another person alive and they go to court. Well, they want them to what? Suffer. They don't kill them right away. They don't give them the lethal injection the next week. They want them to sit in prison for 10, 20, 15 years or 30 years and let them have that stress in their mind that you're going to get the needle, buddy. You're going to die, and you're going to suffer during that time period. That's stress on a person. So they want them to suffer. And so that's kind of like what's happening to them. They don't want them to just die right away for them being ugly and being just unbelievers and servants of Satan, Lucifer. He wants them to be tormented. You're gonna be tormented. You're going to suffer for 5 months. Man, that's really something. Okay, I thought that was really something. So I looked up some translation on the word Abaddon, which is the Hebrew word of Apollyon. And the translations come to Sheol, death, the grave, ruin. The interpretation of it, even I looked it up in the Greek, in the Hebrew, the same interpretation is the destroyer. So again, that's why there's many speculation as to exactly who this is. You know, is this actually Lucifer himself, or is it an actual angel? Again, that's to be revealed. I actually happen to believe that, in a sense, maybe it's another angel, because it simply says that the name, because it didn't say Lucifer or Satan, because we know in the Bible it states who Lucifer and Satan is, even in Revelation. It could be a right-hand man of Lucifer himself, maybe some angel that's serving under him to serve his purpose. We know that that is the situation. There are a lot of angels that serve up under Lucifer. There, he drew a third of the stars from heaven. Okay, verse 12 of Revelation says, "Woe! One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter." Man, you know, one woe is past, two more yet to come. You mean we're gonna suffer some more? How will you know? How's that going to work? You're constantly being stung for 5 months. You're not going to die. You got to endure this. You won't repent because your heart is hardened. And people are stubborn, man. I tell you, man, the worst people to deal with when witnessing to, and I just got to say this, you know, some people may take offense to it, some may not, is people who are gay and lesbian. They are like the worst spirits to deal with when trying to convert them. They are just so steeped and they're so arrogant. And it's no wonder why they're ruling the world right now in these last days. You see it coming to head. It makes sense that they are ruling the world. Don't think that they're not. That's why all these laws and stuff, they've been ruling the world actually for thousands of years. It's been that way. But now they know that their time is coming to head. And so they're like the worst people to deal with. They're the worst spirits, you know, me, Winston. They're the hardest. they are like the most reprobate mind. They're like, what's his name, Pharaoh, how he just kept hardening his heart. They are the hardest spirits to get to. You can talk to people who got money. People who are wealthy, people with money, and gay and lesbian spirits are the worst ones. People with money are arrogant. Oh, I don't need that. They're the worst people to talk to, witness to. People who are other religions are probably the most easiest. They're not easy. Really, none of them are easy at this day and time. But the ones in other religions, they'll listen to you. The other ones, they're just, they ain't no getting through to them. So you have to really pray for them. Now, I said they can't convert and that we should try, but we should pray for them. This is why it's important, ladies and gentlemen, that you raise up your children the way they should go so that when they get old, they shall not depart. Okay, so you want to deal with that. Verse 13 says, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before Yahweh, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them." This is John. This is amazing to me because we talked about this in class. I remember this. Now, that is symbolic. They believe that that is symbolic. That is not that is not as described in a sense. That's going to be an actual army, an earthly army, actually. And this is when we begin to talk about the Battle of Armageddon, but not yet. Now, we're also going to talk about, we talked about in Revelation 6 chapter about World War III, how they state that World War III and the Battle of Armageddon are actually two separate events. They're not one and the same. They're separate events, which is amazing. So we know that the Battle of Armageddon is where the worldly armies will basically come together to try to go up against Christ. And we all know what's going to happen when that takes place, okay? So now we're going to deal with the four angels which are bound. And we know that these angels, again, are not what? They're not heavenly angels. They're not righteous angels because they're bound. So, again, the other angel, was cast down, and he was given power, the key to open the bottomless pit. So we see that these fallen angels are at work here in Revelation, the ninth chapter. They are working, as you see here in the latter part of the Great Tribulation, which is the Great Tribulation. Man, and it's funny that these angels are being released to do what? To harm the men, the very men that are supposed to be serving them. Again, it makes no sense to me why people will want to be satanic. I see people with the 666 stuff all the time. It makes me sick. And it's like these people have no knowledge that the person you serve cares nothing for you. The fallen angels, the demonic spirits, Lucifer, Satan himself, they care nothing for you. In fact, as you can see right here, that these four angels are going to be loose out of the great river Euphrates, okay? And they're going to prepare for an hour, a day, a month, a year. So if you read that backwards, that's 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, and 1 hour. They're going to be prepared. And what are they going to do, okay? They're going to kill they're going to kill men. And if you remember me telling you some time ago, some people, I remember reading that some people say that during this 7-year period, out of, let's go with the number that Google says is on the planet, 7.6 billion people, out of 7.6 billion people, almost 2 billion people during the Great Tribulation is going to be killed. I happen to not believe that at all. Looking at this and reading this interpretation, when it talks about the different numbers of people who are going to be destroyed and killed, you're talking about less than half the planet when Christ returns is going to be alive. That's a lot of people. I happen to believe, as I stated before in my earlier study, when I first kicked off this Revelation end time doctrine study, that the number is probably going to be like closer to maybe 1.5 to 2 billion people left on the planet, if that, if anywhere close to that, when Christ returns. If that, again, we don't really know. This is, again, let me say again, quote unquote, my spiritual speculation. This is just my thought. Okay, we, no one really knows who's, how many people is going to be left. But even in school, they taught us that they said definitely under half of the population, and they say, like I say, even less will be alive. You're talking about 1/4 is going to die, according to Revelation in the 6th chapter, verse 8, from war, famine, and animals. Remember, we talked about that. And now you see the fire, smoke, and war, okay? And so I need to do more research on that Armageddon. I want to say, if I, and I want to make sure I'm not confusing the two, but there's going to be two different events. One is going to be considered World War III. The other is going to be considered Armageddon. They're not one and the same. But we'll clarify that once we go forward, because we know that in the latter scriptures of Revelation, it separates. We know which one is which, okay? But I want to say that, and of course, to this here, when we're talking about this army, again, this is supposed to be a little earthly Orman. Now, the teacher that was teaching this class at the time I went to school, she was actually of Asian descent, and she was Chinese. And it was funny that she was teaching us and saying that they believe that since this Orman that's going, oh, I'm sorry, this number here that John stated, let me say this first before I say it, John stated in this number, verse 16 says, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200. Now, this horseman, they believe, is not going to be actual horsemen. They believe this is symbolic of the army now. We know that army is now on a roll with horsemen. They have, what do we have now? We have tanks, ships, we have planes, right? Aircrafts and things like that. So they don't believe that this is going to be literal horsemen. Okay, again, they believe this is symbolic. Now, according to this number, it says we're 200,000. If you do the math on that, that equals 200,000, and you put a times in between the 2,000s, which means 200,000 times 1,000, which is 200 million. That is a lot of soldiers. And he says, and I heard the number of them. John said, I heard the number. The army is so massive, he heard them, right? And so that's going to be unimaginable. So the reason I state that, because she was said in class that China boasts the largest army in the world, and they do, military men. And I looked this up, and to get this, it says that this military army boasts 200 million men, and this was of May 21st, 1965. Wow. Can you imagine how large the army is now? This was over 40-something years. Actually, goodness, longer than that. You know, I'm not a mathematician, but that was more than over 50 years ago. Yeah, it is over 50 years. Yeah, actually, it is over 50 years ago. This is unimaginable. This is amazing. And so they believe that this is going to be this is going to be the Asian military army, because they have one of the largest armies on the planet. Or it could be United Armies, which is going to be some type of army of the Antichrist. So that's a possibility. I'm just giving you, again, their spiritual speculation. Again, you know, we offer up the best knowledge that we have, because put it like this, we won't know until it happens. OK, Okay, we know that for a fact. There are some things that we do know, but there are some things that we mostly don't know. Okay, that's why the Bible says we prophesy in part and we know in part, because we don't know. But it said when that which is perfect is come, which is Christ, then we shall know what? Amen. We should know it. We should know the scriptures. We should know the word, which is Christ. We will know these things when he comes back. Everything will be all said and done. We know all in all, because he's gonna tell us. We're gonna know the things. We're gonna actually see it. And for us, we're gonna be in heaven as a church. Amen. Right? We won't have to deal with these things. Okay. And so, in this march across the continent, 1/3 of the world's population is dead. Man, that is 1/3 of the world's population. Man, that's a lot of people. I mean, if you was around that 7.6 billion people to 8 billion people, and I tell you before, I believe it's more than 7.6 billion people on the planet. You're talking about 1/3. Yeah, you're talking about that's like 2, 4, 6, 8, about 3 billion people. That's a lot of people. 2 to 3 billion people. That is a lot of people. In a 3.5-year period of time, in a short span of a year, gosh, and you know, and I'm not going to get into the details of it with the class because it kind of got a little gory. I don't know who's all listening. It could be some children. You know, they were talking about how the bodies, man, you think that the Holocaust, not making light of the Holocaust, not making light of the African Holocaust, they said over 100 million slaves, and I believe that. It was in the millions, far more than the people. You're talking about 400 years, no Holocaust like it. Probably on the face of the planet that we have history that we know of was more than the African Holocaust when they brought the slaves over from Africa to America. Man, you're talking about, and that was an extended period of time, but you're talking about in a year time, 1/3 of the planet gone. Even if that was a billion people dead in 1 year, my goodness, you can't fathom this stuff. This is a lot, man. This is a lot. And so that's why I thank him for his grace and his mercy, and I thank him every day for my salvation. I say that you should too. And we should pray. This is why we should be praying for those that are lost, because, man, these people don't know what they signed up for. They talk about they ain't getting saved. They don't want them to do with it. They going to wear the mark of the beast. People just out here just said all kind of crazy stuff. You don't know what you signed up for. They just signed up their name. I'm glad my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. All right. So let's move forward. Okay. All right, okay, where are we at? Yeah, we are open. Well, I think it's about the 16th chapter. Let's go ahead and read it on out. Get ready to close it on out. Let's go ahead and close it on out. I got some more notes and stuff I may cover. Let's go ahead and finish it up. Revelation, the 17th chapter, verse 21, says, "And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed." So this tells you how they did it, how these armies did it. Again, you know, so many people study the Bible believe that it's going to be military force, the armies on the earth. Because remember, John was thought he could have. John couldn't. If John saw a tank, he's like, "What in the world is a tank? What in the world is a plane? A plane that shoots missiles?" He couldn't imagine that. So he did the best to describe it in his time. Same thing with us. If we was to see 2 to 3,000 years now technology, it would mess us. So we're like, "What in the world is that?" We couldn't come back and try to describe. We think we could. We probably would be a little bit more. Since knowledge has increased now, we probably be a little bit more detailed, but we still couldn't describe. People are like, "Well, that makes no sense. That's not even possible." So you imagine him giving us this information, Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 17, that most people don't believe that this is something according to the script, that this is symbolic, okay? The high possibility, which is a little different from these scorpions that we talk about. Now, the scorpions sound bizarre, too. Don't think it doesn't. That sounds very bizarre. I couldn't imagine a scorpion running around with a head. You'd be scared to kill it. How do you have a man's face? He's scared. You don't know what you're going to do. You probably have to try to shoot him. You probably would go buy a gun then. You see a scorpion with a man's face. You know, you're like, "What in the world? Hey, call somebody. Come get this thing." That would scare the mess out of you. But that, we believe, is not symbolic. We believe that is literal. But this particular verse here, we believe, is symbolic. Verse 18 said, by these three was the part of the men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them do and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet not repented of the works and the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, that is something, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repent they of their murders, wow, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. Man, amen. So you see that you got the scorpions, right? Man, we gave a description of the scorpions, right? And it gives a description of how they look. So you got the scorpions, and then you got the Milady's army of horsemen, okay? Now, some actually believe that that's not a symbol. Some believe, I've read in one of my books that I have, that they said, no, this is going to actually be another army, 200 million. They believe it's not going to be an earthly army that's going to come and torment with the scorpions that's going to come out of the pit, the bottomless pit, the locusts. And so you see these things that are going to take place on earth. And this is why, family, we have got to be praying for our loved ones. Amen. If we know that, they have not yet been saved or dealing with it. And we know that. We know the people we can talk to. I have people in my family that I can go to and constantly talk to. I've talked to them for years, but they're kind of on the fence. Like I told them, they believe other religions, or they just kind of like on the fence. They don't kind of really know. You can talk to them. You can continue to pray for them and work on it. And you got some people who you just cannot. They be ready to fight. You cannot talk to them about the Bible. You know to leave them alone because, hey, the Bible says, cast not pearl among the swine. If they don't want to hear it, just leave them alone. And just pray for them. Definitely be praying for them, family. I'm praying for them. You be praying for them. We got to, because we have to win as many souls into the kingdom of heaven before Christ returns. Because, as I stated, we don't want no one to be lost. I know I don't. I feel like all the saints don't want anyone to be lost. And as you can see the numbers here, one third of the second half of the Revelation, which I call the second half of Revelation, the last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation. Now you see why. Because all of these things, the earthquake, the smoke, you don't know what the smoke is going to do. War, you know, we talk about the 200 million army soldiers. Again, you know, we can go back and forth. I don't argue with people. You can only imagine what it could be. It could be literal army. It could be symbolic. You know, the point that I'm making is that, man, get it right. You know, if you got it right, great. Continue to preach the word. Spread the gospel over the internet, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you are. Speak some life into people's lives, because we need to speak life as much as we can, saint, into the world. This is not a time for us to get weary and fall asleep. And I feel like so many saints are weary and falling asleep, and some are still asleep. Even during what's going on in the world, people in the church are just going on like, hey, you know, like nothing. So we don't want to do that. That's pretty much all my notes. I tell you all the time, I got plenty of scriptures, but I don't use most of the time half the scriptures, but it's always good to have them just in case I may need to refer to them. As far as my notes, I believe I've covered pretty much everything. I may read some more notes here according to what I have, but again, for the most part, you know, we're praying for those that are lost. The plan of salvation, Romans 10:9-10, make sure that we are speaking life into people and telling people about the plan of salvation, how they can become saved. A lot of people who hear the message, I hear a lot of messages across the internet and across the world, but what I don't hear It's people within their message telling people how they can say. I'm like, that was some good information. It really was. But one thing you didn't do, you didn't seal it off. I mean, in church, that's why the pastors always open up the doors of the church, because when they preach the message, they want to give people the opportunity to say, hey, come up and get saved. If you want to be a part of this, because that's the one thing, you know, people hear a good message, they say, well, now what do I do next? You know, it's kind of like when you go to a little seminar, they try to say, you know, how you can make become a millionaire. And, okay, well, where I sign up? It's the same thing. We have to do the same thing in church. Okay, we have to basically tell people, okay, or if you want to say sell it to them, you can, how the way you want to say it. But we have to tell people, okay, this is what you must do to be saved. Romans 10:9-10. And let me go there real quick. Amen. So thank the Most High for this lesson. You know, again, what amazed me from verses 18 through 21 was that how they repented not. You know, this is what we're talking about, salvation. Repented not. I went through my life. I was raised in the church. And like I tell people, you're not going to sneak in. You're not going to accidentally fall into heaven. That's not how it works. Just because my dad was a pastor, my mom played the piano, and all my brothers, we went to church. We was raised in the church, but did I accept salvation? My dad tried as hard as he could from the time I was a teenager, from the time I was age 12, I guess, because they believed that age 12 was the age of accountability. And I'm not saying that it's not, but I believe different. But from the time he tried to go, hey, let's go ahead and get saved. I didn't want to do it. I didn't understand it when I was young. I didn't want to do it. When I got grown, I want to do my own thing. I was like, man, I'm grown. That's not what I want to do. I want to have fun, you know. And I did me. I did that for almost the next 10 years. And then don't think that the Holy Spirit wasn't tapping on my shoulder. I was in the club doing my thing. I was hanging out and doing my thing. I seen many things, seen people, you know, bad things happen to people. And so that woke me up. That stopped me from going out. I seen a few people get, you know, some things happen to people. I said, man, that is a warning. And he kept tapping me on my shoulder. I kept, nah, leave me alone, ignore me. Kept tapping me on the shoulder. And one day, I'll never forget, I was driving in Dallas, a suburb of Dallas, and I had got off work that day, and I looked in the sky and said, Tim, what are you doing? I mean, man, you're approaching, you know, 30 years of your life. He blessed you to live here. What are you doing? You got a family. You got kids. Your family's growing. You just had a baby about that, you know. I was having kids. I was like, man, what am I doing? You know, life is changing, you know. And I always had this mindset when I was younger that I'm going to get this stage when I get old. I wait till I get 60. Ain't that crazy? I wait till I get old. And he don't want you when you get old. He wants you when you're younger. Because why? You can run. You can do more for him. He wants you when you get old. Don't get me wrong. He wants you at 99 if you're still alive. That's what you decide. He'd give you that grace and mercy. But you may not get that. Now, I've seen people 90 years old partying. I'm like, why are you partying? What? Man, what grace and mercy. 90 years old, talking about going to the club with a bottle in you. It's amazing. But the point that I'm making is that you see these people didn't repent. And I had to repent. I said, you know what? Heavenly Father, no matter what, don't let me be lost. I don't want to see hell. I don't want to see the lake of fire. And at that time, again, I didn't understand the interpretation of hell and the lake of fire were two different places. But at that time, I thought hell was the lake of fire. No, lake of fire is far more worse than hell. The Bible says death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. Man, that ought to make you want to get it right. I'm like, when I read that, I'm like, what? You mean to tell me hell is not the lake of fire? No, according to Revelation, the 20th chapter. Let's see, Revelation the 20th chapter. Let me go back to that real quick. It's Revelation the 20th chapter, verses 11 through 15. Read it. Hell is not the lake of fire. Lake of fire is far more worse. And the Bible says unquenchable, meaning that you can be there a billion years. And we know it's an eternity because years won't count. But let's say if you could be there a billion years, you can never get used to it. It'll seem to get hotter and hotter every time. Man, since the Bible says day and night, you're going to be tormented. Gosh, and imagine these things in hell going to be there with you. And you want to actually live your life the way you just to be here for a few years of your life, do what you want to. And, man, I have some people say some smart things. Oh, ain't no such thing as no hell, no lake of fire. I say, you know what, I would like to wish that was true. I really do. I really would like to believe that's true. But you know what? Being connected to the Holy Spirit and see the things that men do on this earth, I would have to say no. I actually believe after seeing people do some of the things to children and to women and to just the thing that men do, I have to say, no, I agree with the Heavenly Father, what the good book says. I believe that there's a hell and a lake of fire coming. And if men don't get right, it was hard for me to fathom how you could be punished for all eternity in such pain. Man, you put your arm against a stove or an urn and see, won't you jump? Man, you're going to be engulfed in that for all eternity. And you mean to tell me you just fine with that? Oh, man, you better stop listening to these folks talking about baptized in eternal fire. Boy, please. They're going to wish they hadn't said that stuff. It's going to be too late. My gosh, this is not a joke, man. And I don't preach fire and brimstone to scare people, because that's not my tactic. My tactic is love. Man, we love you. We don't want you to suffer. I don't want nobody to suffer. I told you right now, I had a sore throat or earache. That's enough suffering to me. A sore throat, like the worst feeling ever. A sore throat, you have to go on constantly. Man, I don't want, and so you can only imagine the things that's coming. And you don't want a part of salvation. Romans 10, chapter verses 9 and 10. Read it. Receive salvation. It's easy. All you have to do is confess with your heart and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that that the Most High raised Christ, His Son, from the dead. The Scripture said, "Thou shalt be saved." Just that simple, easy. It ain't difficult like most of these folks get out here and preach it. I've been in churches and be like, "What in the world is this man preaching?" And that stuff is not Scripture. And this is why the world is in the condition that it is, because you have so many hirelings and false prophets over the pulpits all across the world preaching false doctrine. The Bible does not teach that nowhere. The Bible teaches that once you're saved, you're saved. It don't teach that you've fallen. All these people teach all this stuff. Oh, you've fallen. You went back. There's no such thing. Once you are saved, you are Christ. You are in His arms for all eternity. You are sealed. You belong to Him. Man, I'm going to tell you, man, I remember I witnessed this woman one time. She was saying, you know what? She said, "Do you believe once?" I said, "I definitely believe that with my heart. To heaven. I believe one thing I always say." I said, "Sister, you are saved." No matter, she was so down. She talked about some of the things she'd done. I said, "Sister, you don't have to worry about that. As long as you confess with your mouth, no matter what you do and continue to do after, the Spirit's going to deliver you. You just get saved. He just wants you to just come to His arms." He said, "I'll save you." I said, "Sister, you are saved." And she walked on me. That blessed my heart so much. That was a long time ago, many years ago. Oh, in the hearts of doubts. I said, "Sister, you saved. Don't worry about what people say." Spoken to homeless people, homeless men. You are saved. Receive salvation. I remember a homeless man sitting in church. I came out and said, he came in a visiting church over in South Dallas. Said, "Man, I heard your son." I said, "Bro," I sat there and talked to him 45 minutes after the church, something that most pastors probably wouldn't even do, not bragging or boasting, but saying, because you know what? It wasn't about me. It was about him. And something that he said to me that blessed me, and I'm going to share it with you probably next week. I know I do this all the time. I'm about to share it with you next week, because I know it can run a little long time. But the brother blessed me. See, I was looking for that thing because the Most High sent him to. Because if a homeless man is talking to me, we talking about the word. I know the Most High sent him. I said, it ain't about me. It's about him. He here to bless me with something. How can he bless me, and how can I bless him? You know, so anyway, Romans 10:19, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yahshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Don't let nobody steal your salvation. You can sell your soul to the devil. You can say, first of all, you can't even sell your soul, because it don't even belong to Satan. It belongs to you, and you can't give it to him because he don't have that type of power. It actually belongs to the Most High. He gives it to you. It's your choice if you want to lose your soul. When you sign over, you actually just losing your soul is what you're doing, because you're giving it to Satan. It ain't to him. It ain't his to take. So he don't even have that power. But if you just confess, you can come back to the Lord. Family, I love you. I'm glad you listened with me tonight. I love you. God, Yahweh bless you. We will be back next week. We'll probably be doing a freestyle Friday, next Friday at 6 p.m., but I will be back on the air next Saturday. Family, I love you. God bless you. Remember, family, you're a royalty. I'm royalty. Family, till next time, be blessed, and bless the Kingdom family. Have a good night. I love you all.